I think it's interesting that we come to this point in the book of Romans, and it really has some correspondence to the aura surrounding us here this weekend of Veterans Day. Certainly appreciative of those who have brought us to this point in our history and have given of their personal time for us and some even of their lives for us. But Paul really deals with things such as liberty and law in this particular chapter, in this particular text, actually. It's a rather lengthy text that we're looking at this evening, but it's an interesting text for a lot of reasons. We're looking at law and liberty, or six principles for dealing with questionable things, from Romans 14:1 to 15:7. Now, we are called to, by Jesus, to enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter by it are many, for the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. So the way of righteousness is narrow only in comparison to the way of sin, which is so wide and diverse. And I think sometimes some have used this text to indicate that there's such a very narrowness within the Christianity and within Jesus Christ. But it's only narrow when we compare it to how open the fields are of sin. That when we walk into this path of faith and obedience. And with that said, it's important that we don't try to make God's way narrower than it already is. And I think that has become a tendency among many, and I think that is exactly what the apostle is writing about here. Paul recognizes that in the church there are two kinds of believers. There are the immature and the mature. And it is here that there is so much confusion in Christianity, and the result is because of not rightly dividing the word of God. 1 Corinthians 14:33 plainly tells us that God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. So let me state that there are seven fundamental parts to the faith. I think, first, that we believe in God, and this is taken from our belief statement. We believe in God, that only one person is God, and that He is a literal being, almighty, eternally immortal, and the creator of all things. Secondly, Jesus. We believe that Jesus Christ, born of the Virgin Mary, is the sinless and only begotten Son of God. He existed from His birth. Three, on the Holy Spirit, we believe that the Holy Spirit is God's divine power and influence, shown through God's mighty works and in the lives of His people. It lives in every Christian from the moment of salvation, and provides the Christian with power for living, understanding of spiritual truth and guidance in doing what is right. Fourthly, the Bible, we believe that the entire Bible is God's infallible word. It is the supreme source of truth for Christian beliefs and living. Five, human beings, we believe that man is mortal, subject to death, dies because of Adam's sin, and remains in the grave until the resurrection at the return of Christ. We believe that the kingdom of God will be established on the earth when Christ personally returns in a visible way. At that time, all mankind will be judged. Those in Christ will be given eternal life, and those without Christ will be destroyed. And seven, baptism, we believe that man must believe in the gospel, repent of his sins, and be baptized by immersion in water. I think these are the fundamentals of the faith as given to us in the Scripture. But just as in the days of Paul, the church is divided over certain practices and traditions of men, most of which are the result of not fully understanding or rightly dividing the Word of God. Paul also doesn't take a soft, squeamish road and suggests that both sides simply agree to disagree and then celebrate the diversity. No, he does something more powerful. He takes the opportunity of a church disagreement here to teach the Romans what love really looks like in practice. And Paul gives the church a lesson against watchdog Christianity. And by that I mean Christians whose main focus is finding fault with other Christians. Preserving the purity of the gospel is important, but it's also important not to spend time on things that God doesn't spend much time on. And some will contend that for strict legalism that is required of the saints, such as observing certain days and diets to reveal a strong faith. However, as we will see in this section of Romans, Paul states that just the opposite is true. It is the Christian that is strong in the faith that realizes that Colossians, the second chapter, and verses 18 through 23 is true. It says, "Let no one who delights in false humility and the worship of angels tell you that you don't deserve a prize. Such a person whose sinful mind fills him with arrogance gives endless details of the visions he has seen. He doesn't hold on to Christ, the head. Christ makes the whole body grow as God wants it to through support and unity given by the joints and ligaments. If you had died with Christ to the world's way of doing things, why do you let others tell you how to live? It's as though you were still under the world's influence. People will tell you, don't handle this, don't taste or touch that. All of these things deal with objects that are only used up anyway. These things look like wisdom with their self-imposed worship, false humility, and harsh treatment of the body. But they have no value for holding back the constant desires of your corrupt nature." The Jews felt the strain of